Believe it or not, mountain lions can whistle, and hippopotamus lips are 2 feet wide. Believe it or not, human brains generate about as much power as a 10-watt bulb. So much for being the brightest bulbs in the box. Believe it or not, DNA is flame retardant. Wild giraffes sleep only 30 minutes a day, and you can hear rhubarb grow. Believe it or not, 90-year-old woman gives birth to her first child, fathered by her 99-year-old husband. God showed up one day and announced to Abram, "Your name is now Abraham. Sarai is now Sarah. I will make you fruitful. You will have many descendants. Sarah will give birth to a son, and kings and nations will come from her." As you heard me tell the children, Abraham fell on his face laughing, and when Sarah heard it later on, she laughed too. And the news was indeed laughable. It was ridiculous. It was inconceivable. It was downright ludicrous. Still, God asked them, the two of them, to trust that it would happen, that the unbelievable would happen. Conception, pregnancy, the birth of a son after a lifetime of infertility and barrenness. Genesis, the book of beginnings, is ripe with the incredulous. Not the least of which that the Lord God created the heavens and the earth and declared it good. Humans came along, exercised their free will, and then made a hash of everything. And instead of annihilating the whole kit and caboodle, what's really unusual is that God chose to renovate, to restore creation to its original glory by closing the chasm of sin that separates God from God's creation. If it were me, I'd have wiped everything off the earth. We'd have started all over again. But not God. God chose to stick with us. And what's more, God would make a covenant with this community, a relationship that is marked by justice and righteousness and kindness. And the peoples of the earth would be drawn to this society, something new and completely different from anything they had ever even thought about. God's reign would be firmly reestablished and creation made whole. Abundant life for all. Believe it or not. God's intent was to create a new people. And every single man, woman, and child would enjoy God's presence and God's blessings. No longer would there be separation. And what's also incredulous in Genesis are the people that God chose. Abram and Sarai. Nomads, shepherds, peasants, who at God's command wandered their way from ancient Mesopotamia down to Canaan, and all when Abram was a spry 75 years. God chose this aging, childless husband and wife to be the means, to be the pathway, the channel, through which God's grace would redeem creation. It's strange, all in all, in part because there were many other better qualified candidates open to God. The Egyptians were very civilized, very cosmopolitan. The Sumerians would have great knowledge and great experience in global commerce. The Mesopotamians and Syrians could also have been logical choices. All of those peoples could have really gotten that message out. They were all world-class shakers, movers and shakers. But God chose the Hebrews. No glorious history, no pedigrees, no land, nothing. Nothing about the Hebrews recommended them to God, and they were nothing but drifters with tents and livestock. They were ancient gypsies. But Deuteronomy 7 reads, "It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you, for you were the fewest of all people. God chose you because God loved you. God made a choice simply out of love. He chose an unlikely people. It was an act of love, undeserved, unearned, and unbelievable. And the Jews have suffered unbelievably ever since. And Scripture often asks us to trust the irrational and the unbelievable. That we've heard a couple of 90-year-olds would be the means of salvation, the redemption of all creation, or that 5,000 people plus women and children would be fed from 5 loaves and 2 fish, or that Jesus died and was raised from the dead after 3 days. I mean, believe it or not, those are incredulous things, incredulous acts. And the odd story of Abraham and Sarah is a snapshot of God's character. It lets us in on who God is. It's also an invitation to explore further the heart and soul of a very peculiar God whose desire is nothing less than shalom, the wholeness for all people. And when we read the rest of Scripture, it's a testament to God's love that presses on and over and around every obstacle. It mends our every flaw, our every imperfection. It speaks to every question, every doubt. It defeats any and all of the powers that be in order to fashion a people, to spread God's word. And that includes you and me here today. To spread the good news that God does not desire the death of God's children. Instead, God desires life where our cups overflow with goodness and mercy. It won't be too long, just 7 years or so, that Good Shepherd Congregation will be 75 years old. Remember what happened to Abraham at 75. He was asked to pick up stakes and move. And at 99, he became a parent for the first time, or actually the second time, but the first time with his wife Sarah. And so if that can happen to Abraham at 75 and at 99, it can also happen to Good Shepherd. So where is God calling this congregation to move? How will God use this congregation to be a blessing to others? How will this congregation live shalom? And answering those questions starts today, after lunch in the FAB. And we'll join the others in a long line of God's very unusual and unbelievable choices. Choices that included thieves and cheats, the stubborn and the grumpy, the argumentative and the apathetic, the impetuous and the impatient, along with Sarah and Abraham. It is a journey this congregation is already on, but we acknowledge that it officially begins today. It is a journey of displacement, more of a wandering than a straight trip to a clear destination, as one writer puts it. It's a journey that takes time. Time in places God's people don't want to be. There will be tremendous loss and surprise, provision, victory, and failure along the way. It is a journey of faith and meaning. It is about coming to see and to know and to follow God's presence, God's movement, and God's promises, even when all evidence to the contrary is before us. To echo Bishop Yost, God's the one in charge of sending a new pastor here. Our task is to listen, pay close attention. It's going to be an unusual journey, as calling a pastor always is. And you can believe that or not. But I think through the grace of God, we best believe it. Thanks be to God.